I'm Carrie Fountain, and this is Just to Say, where we talk to poets about the poems they create and the poems that created them.
Ode to toothpaste. Oh, ode to toothpaste, right? Good morning. This is Just to Say, listeners. This is Carrie Fountain. I'm recording this in my closet this beautiful Friday morning. This morning, what I'm going to do is going to be a little bit different than what I've been doing this week in that, well, it won't be different in that I'm going to be sharing a lovely poem with you to start your day off. But it will be different in that I'm going to share a poem with you and your kids. Probably, I think, you know, anywhere in the range of kindergarten through high school, I've done this exercise with. Younger kids might need help writing. But after I read the poem, I'm going to briefly discuss it with your kids and then invite them to write one of their own, a poem or two. And of course, parents, everyone, parents, non-parents, anyone listening could do this themselves. I'm going to read a poem by Pablo Neruda called Ode to My Socks. And an ode is a poem of celebration of something. So, you know, ode to springtime or ode to love or ode to God's shining light. Usually we think of odes as being very big and about very big things. But what Pablo Neruda did was he decided he would write what he called elemental odes. And elemental odes were basically odes to things that would never get odes written about them. So ode to my socks. Some of the other odes that Neruda wrote, ode to laziness, ode to the onion, ode to the tomato, ode to salt. Just think about salt. All those odes to springtime and love, and salt was just sitting there the whole time thinking, no one's ever written an ode to me, and I do a lot. I make food taste better. So this is an exercise in writing, but it's also an exercise in sort of just looking around your life and seeing the things that are there sitting right in front of you that you could write about, right? Our lives are the source of our art. And so this is an exercise that's really easy to get started in sort of recognizing that and seeing that. So first I'm going to read the poem. And then, you know, if that's enough for you, you can stop there. If you'd like to hang on and do a little bit of writing, hang on. Ode to My Socks by Pablo Neruda. This starts with a name, someone's name, so not to throw you off. Ode to My Socks. Maru Mori brought me a pair of socks, which she knitted with her own sheep herder hands. Two socks as soft as rabbits. I slipped my feet into them as if they were two cases knitted with threads of twilight and the pelt of sheep. Outrageous socks. My feet became two fish made of wool. Two long sharks of ultramarine blue crossed by one golden hair. Two gigantic blackbirds. Two cannons. My feet were honored in this way by these heavenly socks. They were so beautiful that for the first time, my feet seemed to me unacceptable, like two decrepit firemen unworthy of that embroidered fire of those luminous socks. Nevertheless, I resisted the sharp temptation to save them, as schoolboys keep fireflies, as scholars collect sacred documents. I resisted the wild impulse to put them in a golden cage and each day give them bird seed and chunks of pink melon. Like explorers in the jungle who hand over the rare green deer to the roasting spit and eat it with remorse, I stretched out my feet and pulled on the magnificent socks and then my shoes. And the moral of my ode is this: beauty is twice beauty, and what is good is doubly good when it's a matter of two woolen socks in winter. So that's Ode to My Socks by Pablo Neruda. And one of the things I think would be really useful right now, just thinking about what Pablo Neruda is doing in this poem, is if, and I will do it with you, and I could cheat because I have the poem right in front of me, but I'm going to do it, just to close your eyes for a minute and think of what sticks with you in your mind from what you just heard. You might even write it down. You don't have to have it word for word. This isn't a game of, you know, getting things exactly right and exactly the way he said them. Because this isn't actually the way, exactly the way he said them, because this poem is actually translated from Spanish. So you don't have to be, this is not about being correct. It's just about trying to figure out what sticks with you from the poem. So if you want to jot some things down that stick with you, even one thing. The things that stick with me, I'm sitting here with my eyes closed. I think about, is it the two long sharks of aquamarine blue crossed by one golden hair? If you think about when you look down at your socks, right? You pull them on and then there's the seam that is often in a different color, or, you know, is that goes across your toes. I think that's what he's talking about in that image, in that little description. I think of the decrepit fireman, unworthy of the outrageous fire, I think he says, of the poems, right? I think of these, you know, these little old people in like, you know, the full fireman gear, you know, unable to really put out the fire of these socks. Oh, I think of that pink melon. He says, right, I resisted the temptation to put it in a cage and feed it pink melon. I love that image. It's so beautiful. And also, I think it expresses so well that feeling that we have sometimes when we get something maybe that's new and we have to reconcile with how happy we are to have it, with the fact that using things in our lives breaks them in, right? But we can't just sort of set them up on the shelf and look at them. The moral, as I'm opening my eyes now, the moral of his ode, he says at the end, is that beauty is twice beauty when it is, and what is good is doubly good when it's a matter of two woolen socks in winter, right? Because what he's saying there is that these socks are beautiful, but they're doubly beautiful because in the winter, they keep his feet warm, right? They have a use. And that really goes back to what he's doing in all of these poems, is that he's sort of looking, not only with his eyes, but with his all of his senses, the sense of smell, the sense of touch. That's the way that he's looking at the small things in life, the elemental things in life. Ode to salt, ode to the tomato. After you've sort of thought about what sticks with you in this poem, I would probably argue what you've written down or what you've thought of are some real specific and surprising things. Pablo Neruda here doesn't just say, these socks were beautiful. He doesn't just tell us the socks were beautiful. He shows us with the things of the poem, right? Those decrepit firemen. And of course, that is a simile, right? He's using those decrepit firemen to show us the socks. That's what poets do with similes and metaphors in poems. They use them in service to showing. So the specifics, the images, the things you can see, smell, hear, taste, touch, those are the things that really go in to making an elemental ode, as Pablo Neruda has done here. And that's good news, because you are sitting right in the middle of your life. Most of us are sitting really in the middle of our lives, because we are in our homes all day, every day. I'm literally sitting in the middle of my life because I'm sitting in my closet. So I have a lot of my things right here in front of me, things that I would never write an ode about, right? Ode to my slippers. They're right there. Oh, I love those slippers. It's a little too warm for them now, but they're so great. And my kids got them for me for Christmas. And it only took me 3 years of asking for them until they finally got me what I wanted. Ode to the iron. What a useful thing an iron is, right? Ode to toothpaste. Oh, ode to toothpaste, right? So what I want you to do is I want you to, first, one of the things you can do to really feel like you have a lot of stuff to work with, because there's not anything kind of worse for a writer than sitting down to a blank page and not having really, you know, a sense of like what to do, right? So I want you to start out by just making a list of things in your life that you might take for granted, you know, things that you might write one of these odes for. And think about, remember the salt, how happy the salt was to get an ode? Think about how happy, you know, your bathrobe would be to have an ode, or toothpaste, or, I mean, right now, gosh, an ode to the mail carriers of the world, the people who deliver our packages. Ode to H-E-B. Oh my gosh, H-E-B is saving us right now. Right now this is something that we're really leaning on. Everyone, I think, ode to screen time. You know, think about that time from either end, right? Kids, think about what you do during screen time. There's lots of sounds and sights and probably smells and tastes maybe during screen time. And parents on the other end, right? We always send our kids into their bedrooms to do screen time because it's so loud. So that sound, that muffled sound from the other room when screen time is happening, and what are you doing in your life? You know, my kids always have screen time while I'm making dinner, right? So it's a good time to write about. There's a lot going on during screen time, even though we might not think of it like that. We take it for granted, right? So these are really, this is just an assignment in looking around your life and writing about the things that you might take for granted. It's a great exercise to do writing-wise, because really what you're doing in this exercise is I want you to describe the thing. So I don't want you to say it's beautiful and glorious and fun. Because all three of those words, beautiful, glorious, and fun, I can't see them in my mind's eye. I can't smell them. I can't taste them, right? So what I want you to do is to sit with whichever object that you decide that you want to write an ode about. And you know, there are some things that are not quite things. They are more like abstractions or ideas. He writes an ode to laziness, for example. So you can start there as well. But I really want you to focus on describing the thing as best you can and celebrating it in that way by being specific. So like if I was going to write ode to toothpaste, I might think about that color, the color of my toothpaste is kind of like a minty green, kind of like, it's not bright green like the leaves on trees, but it's more like a color of like the green of a cactus plant, or, you know, the green that is coming out right now on so many cactus plants when they're like, we call them cactus babies, the little guys that are growing with the little non-sharp yet thorns. They will become the thorns of the cactus eventually. But when they're babies, they're just little, almost like leaves that come out. So, you know, green, the color of cactus, or green, the color of cactus babies, or, you know, and you can also do those crazy leaps like Neruda does, you know, green, the color of a new day. You know, green, the color of a new, fresh day where you have lots of things scheduled to do, you know. That is a bit of a leap, right? But it's like a simile. But it works to describe the thing itself, right? So I want you to sit and work with that and write odes to everyday objects. Try it. Just one ode, even. I did this with my kids a couple of days ago, and my daughter wrote one that was really fabulous about the sage bush right outside. I mean, she literally looked outside the window where she was sitting. It was in her vision. There's a sage bush outside our window. So she wrote an ode to the sage bush. My son wrote an ode to the cats. Work on that. Doesn't, you know, just take a little time. Doesn't have to be a real long period. Don't torture yourself. Writing is fun, so let it be fun. And I would really, really love it if you would share the poems that you write with me. Let me think about how the best way to do that would be. I guess maybe through social media. You can find me on Instagram if you search my name, Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, fountain like a water fountain. And then send me your poems, because I want to see them and share them with others. And maybe we can get a whole little chain of odes written. People will be inspired by what you write. And this is a great time to be looking around our lives and seeing the things that we take for granted, the things that keep our lives afloat, and writing about them. That's pretty much covers most of my writing experience and career. So have a happy time writing. It's nice to be with you. And I'll do another one of these next Friday so we can keep it up. I really love writing poetry with you, and I can't wait to see what you write. All right, this is Carrie Fountain signing off from our closets to your ears with love. This is Just to Say.